Our Father, we are mindful of thy word. We are mindful of the sacrifice that was made by thy Son for us. And as we have come here to sing praises to thee, to worship thee, to fellowship one with another, to encourage and exhort one another, we pray that again in this afternoon that thou wouldst provide for us. Be with us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like if you'd turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 18 through 21. But before we do, I wanted to make an analogy because I think it's important. In verse 21... It says that she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. This is the angel speaking to Joseph. For he shall save his people from their sins. This is very key, that for he shall save his people from their sins. And before we read these verses, I wanted to just give a couple of illustrations of what save means. On February 25th, 2021, about 10 months ago, a car went over the bank. It's halfway submerged in the water. A call comes over the radio. Local police hears it. He's about 2.5 miles away. Now, this policeman had been involved in another rescue not too many months before, and it didn't turn out very well, so he knew it was critical. And so it's 9:15 p.m., he pulls up. The driver is frantic, you know, up top. There's his car down in the water, halfway submerged. A 2-year-old is in there. A 73-year-old is in there. What to do? They're screaming. He goes down into the water. He shatters the one window. He goes to pull out the infant, and the water was so high that barely able to breathe, up to the chin, pulls her out. 73-year-old is in the front seat, breaks the window. He's worried as he pulls her out. She's going to be all cut up, but it's better to be cut up than dead. So he pulls her out, both saved. They were in need of salvation. Another incident down in Texas. Nurse coming off night shift. It's 6:15 in the morning. She falls asleep, comes to the end of a T-intersection, off the road, also into the water. Emergency calls goes out. As they pull her from the car, they turn to look back and the car is gone. She needed salvation. As we read these passages here, we're going to read about the birth of Jesus. But it's interesting how right here at the beginning, the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth is made plain to Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then as Brother David was talking this morning, just kind of imagining what it would be like to be Mary and to be Joseph. And you can think of Joseph, he's engaged to Mary. They're going to get married, but now she is pregnant. And I'm sure she told him of all the things that the angel Gabriel had told her, but he's thinking hard. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. So he was thinking, he still wasn't convinced. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. You know, in Luke This morning we read about, in Luke there's the account of John the Baptist. And I just want to briefly read there because it's a little different in So as John the Baptist, as it was revealed to Zacharias that John the Baptist was going to be born, he says, when Zacharias saw the angel, it troubled him, and the angel is telling him about, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. This is Zacharias' son John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. So there's a focus on Israel there with John the Baptist. But here as we read in Matthew, and he shall save his people. It's no longer focusing on Israel, but his people, God's people, from their sins. And indeed, he came to this earth to save us from our sins. He came to save us from the penalty of sin. He came to save us from the power of sin. He came to save us from the presence of sin. The penalty of sin. In Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. Each one of us has sinned. Each one of us has come short. Each one of us has done what we wanted to do. From the moment we were, I don't know how old, and we arched our back when we didn't want our diaper changed or when we didn't want to eat the broccoli, right? I don't want to do that. I don't want this to be that way. Till as we grow older and we decide to forsake what our parents have done, or advise and to just do what we think is right in our own eyes. We have sinned. We have sinned. We have sinned against society. We have sinned against our parents. We have sinned against what we know to be good. We have sinned against God's word, most importantly. And the wages of sin is death. In John 3:16, that's the famous verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I think many people have an improper image of who Christ is. He didn't come to condemn us. You know, that one woman, that nurse that went off the road, she's in the water. She fell asleep. It's her fault, right? And she could have been really upset that here somebody was coming down, there's alligators, there's poisonous snakes, and, you know, she might have felt guilty. I don't want your salvation. She didn't say that, you notice, right? She didn't say that. And this is a stretch. But people today, because their sin, because they want to live in their sin, and because they want to do things their way, they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ and the Word of God and God himself who has a plan, who has an ideal plan for how we should live our lives on this world, in this world, and what we should do one with another, how we should behave with another, and that we should just acknowledge his existence and live, indeed, as we should, according to his word. They don't even want to go there. They're comfortable in their sin. And any light shed upon that, they're upset about it. And actually, it goes on to say, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's in John 3:19. So Christ indeed has come to save us from our sin. And he has saved us from our sin. He saved us from the power of sin. In Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion or power over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. For sin shall not have power or dominion over you. This is an important verse too. Because not only are we saved from the penalty of sin if we acknowledge who Christ is and follow him, we're also saved from the power of sin. We don't have to sin anymore. That is not a promise to people who don't acknowledge Christ. We don't have to. Satan no longer has a controlling power over our lives. And we no longer have to sin. We may choose to sin. We may choose our own way. But we don't have to. I just want to take you back to Genesis chapter 4. One of the first examples of, well, maybe the second example of choosing our own way. Genesis 4, we're talking about Cain and Abel. So this was, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain, who brought of the fruit of the ground, God did not have respect. And Cain was very wroth. He was angry, and his countenance fell. He was despondent. And God, the Lord, said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and under thee shall be his desire, and that thou shalt rule over him. So you have Cain here, and there are two questions when it comes to living our lives the way we want to live our lives. God said to Cain, why are you angry and why are you dejected, right? Why? Think about why you're upset that your offering wasn't accepted. Think about why you're upset in anything that you're doing that people might call a sin. And, you know, they shouldn't call it that. This is just what I'm doing, right? Not too long ago, we were coming back from Labor Day retreat, and we took a tour through Utah and in some of the canyons. And speed limit's 50 miles an hour. In my mind, I'm driving 50 miles an hour. I was driving 53 miles an hour. I didn't know it, but I was going a little fast. And I came to one of those spots where it says 35. All of a sudden, road didn't change. There's a town right there. But I was oblivious to that. I was just driving 53 miles an hour. And sure enough, the lights come on behind me, right? And, you know, you're really tempted to be upset. You know, this is a speed trap. This isn't right. You know, what changed that the speed limit had to change? And you want to rebel against it. But the truth of the matter is, I was going too fast. And indeed, I had just gone through in a little town. And even though the road was wide and it seemed like 50 miles an hour is plenty fast or fast enough, safe enough, it wasn't. And so in my mind, I needed to think, why am I upset? There was no reason for me to be upset. By grace, he gave me like 49 instead of 50, right? He saved me $100. And truthfully, I just needed to be more careful. And I think a lot of times in our lives, we need to check our pride at the door. We're upset because our pride has been wounded. We're upset because we think the world revolves around us, and it doesn't revolve around us. And we need to think like Cain. God said to Cain, why are you angry? Think about it. Why are you dejected? Think about it. Cain didn't think about it. Cain got angry, or he slew his brother Abel, right? It kept on going the wrong way. We need to check that pride at the door. We need to understand that there is a rebellion that comes up within us, and that's not acceptable in God's sight. That wasn't acceptable when Satan rebelled against God. It's not acceptable with us. And then finally, he freed us from the penalty of sin. He freed us from the power of sin, saved us from the penalty, saved us from the power of sin, and he's saving us from the presence of sin. We were just at my father-in-law's funeral. Another funeral is coming up. the resurrection is coming soon, right? And whether you go when God calls his children home, or you die tomorrow night or tonight on the way home, you will be away from the sin of this world. Revelation 21, turn to there. First Corinthians 15:52, we read recently, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed, right? That's talking about the rapture. I think I said resurrection before, but the rapture. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. He freed us from the presence of sin. So many times in our lives, whether it's imagined or we just see it blatantly out where we're walking, talking, and living, there is sin running rampant. There is corruption that we see. There are inequities in life. And that's going to be changed. All for the better. Indeed, for he will save his people from their sins. Before he was born, Christ had a mission. And if you remember, at about 12 years old when he disappeared, right? His parents had gone to Jerusalem, and when they went home, they thought he was with the cousins, whatever. For 3 days he was lost. And when they finally found him, he said, "You know, didn't you know I was supposed to be about my father's business?" Already he knew he had that mission. In our lives, we have a mission to accept that salvation. We're in the car. It's filling with water. It's urgent. May God bless his word.